And it's time to hear the word. Amen. Amen. Those that are with Sister Sonia's class, you may be dismissed. Amen. If you ever wonder why I play so much, it's because what comes back to me. Amen. I am happy to see as many here today to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. God does have a word for us this morning. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is coming from Genesis. Amen. Real easy book to find. Amen. You open it up, it should fall right there. Genesis chapter 50. Verse 19. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, see you Wednesday night. Bible study. Amen. Because there is certainly a problem. Amen. Amen. There's somebody who ain't never opened up a Bible. If you can't find Genesis or Revelation. I'm reading from the King James Version. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Amen for the reading of God's word. I could read a lot more, but there's a point that I'm going to get to. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to speak to you today is regarding God uses problems in our lives to bring us to his place. Amen. That's why I read that one verse. There's a lot that is in that one verse. God uses problems in our lives to bring us to his place. Not our place. Not where we want to go. Not my will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but let your will be done. Because if you remember in the Garden of Eden, they did their own will. But when Jesus went back to the garden, he said, not my will, but let your will be done. Take us to your place. We all have problems. No one is exempt from it. If you're living, you have an issue. You have a problem. You're going through something. If you're not going through something, you're coming out and getting ready to go back into something. Amen. So it's only for a season when you come out. When we go through trials, we tend to forget about the people in the scripture who also went through trials and tribulation as well. But God will help us in our time of need, just like he helped those in the Bible. God is in the business of helping people. It doesn't matter what your problem, where your problem came from, God still has a purpose in your life, even when you do stupid things. Amen. That's going to happen. God can use that. Even when other people hurt you intentionally, he can use that as well. Even when the devil plans bad things for your life, God can bring good out of that. You need to look past the temporary pain and look instead at the long-term benefit in your life. Many of us have some type of 401k plan or some type of plan, and they tell you to look at the long-term. Short-term, you may lose something here and there, but the long-term is going to benefit you. But see, here's what we need to understand. God wants us to learn something. God wants you to learn that in every storm, there's a school. In every trial, there's a teacher. And in every experience, there's an education. Most of us are forgetful and hard-headed. I was trying to think of something else other than hard-headed, but nothing was coming to me as I was studying. I just said, it's just hard-headed. I want to say, is there another word? Is there something else that I can use instead of hard-headed? I don't want to use that, but that was the only thing that was coming, so I had to put that in my notes. Hard-headed. If you don't learn something from your situation, from your problem, from the thing that you just got yourself into, guess what God would do? He would bring it up again in your life. Some people can't understand, why am I going through this again? Why is this happening to me again? Because you haven't learned. God is not like the school districts. Because you no longer fit that desk, they're not going to bring in another desk. They're just going, their school will just pass you on to keep you with the class. Or the teacher's just like, hey, I'm just going to get rid of this person. I ain't going to deal with them another year. I don't think so. God is not like our school systems. It's pass or fail with him. And if you don't pass it, God will bring it up again. Why? Because God is interested in character building. That's what we don't understand. He's interested in character building. God, if he chooses, he can make everything easy for us. And that's the way some people like it. We have to tell the people at the school that it's not going to be easy for you. You got to take some tests. You got to pass the clinicals. You got to pass the exams. And then after you pass all of this, there's another test that you have to take. And it's through the state of Illinois. But people just want you to just, I'm here. I'm in attendance. Give me my certificate and I'll be out your way. It don't work that way. You have to put some, let me tell you something. Let me just say this. I cannot take this Bible and put it underneath my pillow and expect to have it to download inside of my brain. It don't work that way. You can't put this underneath your pillow and thinking that all of it's going to transform inside. No, you got to open it up and spend some time with the Lord. Now, let me say this. When I study, I get sleepy. I'm like, I ain't even sleepy. I just woke up. Had some people that was having trouble sleeping. And I said, study the word of God. They said, well, I read the word of God. It didn't make me sleepy because the devil know you wasn't studying. I'm sitting up there, man, I'm telling you, I open up the Bible, I'm starting to study. See, the devil knows when you get ready to get into it, he know, oh, they getting ready to learn something. They getting ready to get some more power, some more extension. I can't do that. So I'm going to make them drowsy, make them a little sleepy. Or he distracts you, make you look at stuff and say, oh, that's out of place. Let me go and fix this. All kinds of you, your eyes start wondering, you start looking at stuff, and you start fixing that, and you start doing this. Next thing you know, you're off the word of God. All right. That can wait. This is important. God wants you to learn. Some of us have a problem right now. God has a word for you while you're going through your problem, your difficulties. Don't give up. See, what we don't understand is that a problem is an opportunity in disguise that you need to learn from. God wants you to see your problem as potentials and your adversaries as opportunities. Whenever you try to accomplish anything significant for the Lord, you will face strong opposition. Try to do something for the Lord, meaning something real meaningful for the Lord. Watch you start facing opposition. But do something that is not for the Lord and watch everything just start coming in, and ain't nothing trying to block you or stop you. Say, I ain't going to church today. Nothing ain't going to stop you. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It works just like that. Say, I'm getting up and I'm going to command them on. I'm going to church. And watch, all of a sudden, somebody want to call you in the midst of you getting ready for church. Or something come up. Somebody got some type of issue. They know you getting ready to go to church. But they want to call you. Anytime you get ready to do something for the Lord, what I'm trying to tell you, something is going to come up. Something is going to happen. Satan never bothers people with half-hearted who don't care. He don't bother half-hearted people. Why should he? You don't care, so why should he care? But if you catch on fire for Jesus, look out now. The name Satan means adversary. Satan is committed to opposing God and his people, especially when they start praising God. Oh, Satan is like, hold up now. Hold up. I'm finna try to disrupt that now. I'm gonna make you start looking at folks and making and start assuming stuff about folks. Now, folks looking at you crazy, they ain't looking at you crazy. Look back at them crazy. And how come they ain't praising God? It works both ways. Folks stare at you and look at you. Look at them like that too. As long as you live with one foot in the world, living according to the world's values and the world's goals, Satan won't trouble you. You can go to church and even pray and read the Bible and Satan won't mind. But the minute you wake up and shake off the world's mindset and commit yourself to obedience to Jesus Christ, you will encounter spiritual opposition. Whenever godly leaders attempt to rally God's people to advance his kingdom, opposition problems will happen. Satan doesn't mind when churches gather to sing and hear soothing sermons about how to use the Bible to achieve, listen, personal success, those churches are no threat to his kingdom. But when you get a pastor up here that starts preaching the gospel that convicts sinners of their sins in the presence of a holy God and points them to the cross of Jesus Christ, look out now. When a pastor calls the flock to obedience, holy living in this wicked world, look out. When a pastor directs the vision of the flock towards the unreached nations who are waiting to hear the gospel preached, look out now. The enemy is committed to opposing that kind of work. The enemy is not so much concerned with you coming in, sitting down for a few minutes or hours, and then getting up, that's no effect. But when you get involved, when you start being an active participant, that's when it's a problem. Let me say this to you. If I'm sitting on the bench in a game, I am no threat to that pitcher on that mound. Why? Because I'm not standing in the batter's box. I'm not standing on first base. I'm not standing on second or third. I'm no threat to him sitting on the bench. But the minute I get up off the bench and get in the game and grab a bat, I'm a threat to the enemy. That's the difference. But when you're sitting there, you're no threat. But the minute you get up and get active and start moving and you step in that batter's box, now there's a problem. Same it is with us in the body of Christ. The minute you start studying, you start pouring your life into the Word of God, God will start pouring himself out to you. Then all of a sudden things become active and moving in your life. Now you're a problem to the enemy. Yeah. Now all of a sudden you're a problem to other folks. All right. Whenever godly leaders attempt, Satan always tries to stop us. The enemy will try to get you sidetracked or to give to make you give up completely. Even though it was God's will for Nehemiah to rebuild the wall, God did not remove the opposition. Right. Why? Because there's something that God wants to toughen you up with. Even though it is God's will for you to grow strong in faith and to labor to advance the kingdom of God, God doesn't or don't always remove the opposition. If you respond properly, the opposition will drive you to greater dependence on the Lord and to greater dependence to what he has called you to do. That's what the enemy can do. Anything that draws you closer to God has to be good. Amen? That's something you don't pray for deliverance from that. You know, there's some things you just don't pray for deliverance from that. When something is driving you to the Lord, it's got to be good. If you know Jesus Christ and attempt to accomplish anything for him, the enemy will oppose you. Satan often uses the anger of others to try to stop the newfound joy and zeal of a new believer. That's all it takes. Something simple. Suppose a teenager who grew up in a cultural religious home where the gospel was never preached and gets saved. He goes home and tells his parents how he has met Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Will his parents be overjoyed? I think not. They will be upset. What do you mean that you've been you become a Christian? How do you think we raised you? As a heathen? What's all this nonsense about being born again? What's all of this? Why are they mad? You think they would be happy for their child because he wasn't doing drugs or getting girls pregnant? They're mad because if their child gets serious about God, it threatens their worldly, self-centered lifestyle. The same thing happens when a wife meets Jesus. Her zeal for God convicts her husband of his wicked ways, and he responds with anger. Satan's aim is to get the new Christian to cool his commitment to the Lord. If anger doesn't stop the work, Satan hauls out another tool. Y'all follow me? Satan has tools. Satan frequently uses ridicule against those who take a stand for the Lord. If you become a Christian and let it be known, people around you will start mocking you, start making fun of you. They will be waiting for you to mess up so they can say, I knew it. I knew she still had a cuss word in her. I knew he still had a cuss word in him. I knew I can get it out. Y'all know that's what people do. They will push your buttons. I had somebody, man, they knew I was a pastor. They was pushing my buttons. I had to pause. And when I was talking to him, I had to sit there for a minute, and she asked me a question, and I took literally 5 minutes to respond to her. Sat there in silence. Because that old man was trying to get up. And I was like, no, stay asleep. I don't need you right now. Gonna get me in some trouble. Shouldn't even be here. I don't remember you getting in the car with me. So I had to shut down for a moment because people will push your button. Even though you don't, may not see me get angry as much, but still people will try to see if you got it in you. They trying to see if they really, are they really delivered? They will try you. Your commitment to Christ threatens their godly lifestyle. You know, when you show up, folks be like, oh, here you go the preacher. There go the preacher. That's what I mean. Come on, that's what I get when I show up. Yeah, folks are like, oh, here come the preacher. What you going to do? You going to tell us that what we can't do is wrong and all this? I said, man, I didn't come here for that. Grown man going to do what a grown man's going to do. Grown woman's going to do what a grown woman's going to do. My lifestyle speaks for me. So I ain't have to say anything to them. But see, this is what Satan. Satan knows that the halfway point is in any work is the most effective time to give up. Halfway. When a new project begins, there is plenty of enthusiasm. Let's get up and let's do this. We're on fire for it. We are excited for the Lord. Let's do it. And then if you get over the midway hump and see the completion drawing near, there is another surge of enthusiasm. We're almost there. Let's get it done. But right in the middle of things, exhaustion and discouragement set in. People have lost the initial zeal, and all they can see is the work that still awaits them. People feel like quitting. The same thing is true in your walk with Christ. When you first get on fire for the Lord, it's exciting. You have the attitude of saving the world, your time in the Word, and you spend your time in the Word and praying and all of this, and then all of a sudden, you just can't get enough of it, right? But somewhere down the line, the newness wears off. You begin to notice the problems in your life and in the church, the problems and sin that just don't seem to go away. You begin to grow weary, wondering if all your efforts are of making any difference for the cause of Christ. Is there anything that I'm doing that is causing an effect on some people? Your weariness leads you to discouragement. Satan uses fear to paralyze God's people and keep them from attempting anything significant for the Lord. But see, this is what we need to learn. We need to learn to take our problems to the right place. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, here's the thing. How many of you have took something to a particular, whether it be a place or whatever, and they didn't fix your problem? Frustrates you, right? But see, if you take it to the right place. In other words, you can't be taking it to Sideshow Bob or Pookie and Ray Ray now. That doesn't work. It's cheaper outcome as far as you paying. But guess what? Pookie and Ray Ray, all they did was just switch things on you. They just kept it in storage, and that's all you paid for. They ain't fix it. Take your problems to the right place. Fleeing from your problem won't help you. You will never be able to run away from the problem and trials of life. Israel found that out the hard way. Friends won't help you. Job tried to tell his friends about his burdens, but he found that there was no value in them. Fighting won't help you. This is the one I had to just really think about for a moment when God gave me this. Fighting won't help you. A lot of people try to live in denial and fight what they are called to face. Fighting against what the Lord brings into your life is dangerous. If you're not careful, you might find yourself fighting against God. Y'all follow me? That's why you can't just go to anybody and talk to anybody about your problems. Because see, if you go to the right place, you go to the right person. Let me say this. You go to a Christian, a seasoned Christian. When they hear what you're going through, they're going to tell you where to take it. But if you just go to anybody who likes to run their mouth and can tell you anything about anything but ain't got no credentials whatsoever, they'll tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Oh, they'll tell you some stuff. There's a lot of people that's walking out there that ain't passed no bar or nothing, but they can tell you about the law. and ain't got no law degree or nothing, ain't been in nobody's school. But they can tell you everything about anything. And then as soon as you take their advice and it don't work, well, they say, well, what made you listen to me? You ain't never listened to me before. That's how folks do you. The Bible says that Job suddenly lost all of his wealth and his children. The devil said to God, if you take all those possessions away from him, he'll curse you and turn from you. But God replied, you can do anything to him except you can't kill him, and then we'll see. We'll see about that. See, God knew what Job was made of. God knew what was inside of Job. God knew that it wasn't just materialistic things that Job was holding on to. God knew that there was something deeper inside of Job that was connected to connecting Job to him. But Satan was like, no, it's this hedge. Take it away. God said, I take it away, but the man still's going to worship me. Remove it. Still going to praise me. Job never asked why those things were happening to him. The closest he ever came was when he said, show me why you contend with me. Job was sharing his agony of spirit with the very God he could not understand. God is a mystery. Some things we just won't understand. Suffering carries a message of mystery inside of it. There's something that, you know, years ago, I won't go into a lot of details, but years ago, I was fighting against something. Then I had to keep my mouth shut. I said, hold on, why am I fighting this? I said, there's a blessing in disguise in this. But if I fight it, I'm going to be on the short end of this stick. So what I had to do was let God let this thing play out. I had to let God do his thing. See, many times we don't want God. We want God to do it, but the way God's going to do it is not the way you would like for it to be done. We don't like it that way. No. I ain't got to go through it like that. No. We want it a little bit more simpler. Somewhere where we can just float on and let everybody see us. Not going to happen. Not with God. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be kicking, screaming, and all that type of stuff, but guess what? You're going to come out shouting. Because it hurts. But guess what? After a while, you're not going to feel that pain anymore. After a while, that problem that you thought was a problem will soon be over. It's not going to be there anymore. And all of a sudden, you're going to be shouting at one and say, man, I remember that I had a problem, but it's not there anymore. I'm telling you, I was fighting this issue, and I was like, man, I ain't doing that. No, I ain't doing that. But then all of a sudden, I just said, I had to let go and let God. And it was kind of like, you know, I have to go back to my childhood days. You know, we're comfortable with grabbing the handlebars, right? That feels good because we feel like we're in control. But then, you know, I saw my cousins with their hands up in the air and just going down the street. I said, whoa, man, I said, that looks fun. But I said, I don't know if I want to let go yet. Just started riding and ain't got, just took my training wheels off. But I'm not that confident yet. But I saw my cousins, they had their hands like this. They was like, can you do this, Ronnie? I said, oh, hold up now. Hold up. I'm in control right now. But when you get confident, when you let go, I mean, I had to try. They said, come on, just let it go just a little bit. And I let it go. I released. And I saw myself gliding. And I saw myself going forward. And I was like, hey, I'm doing it. It's the way you got to do with God. Some of y'all are holding on too tight. God can't even, he's trying to get his finger, said, I'm trying to get them to let this thing go. Y'all ever notice a baby, when you touch a newborn baby and you touch it, they immediately grab hold and they grab tight, don't they? Well, that's the way some of y'all are. Y'all won't let it go. God is like, let me try to, what they got the hand on it?
let the thing go.
I'm like, oh, how many times I got to keep fighting with this person? Y'all know God. I'm pretty sure God's been talking about some of us. You know, we don't want to let stuff go. We want to hold on to it, thinking that if I let this go, then I ain't going to get nothing. Guess what? When Job was blessed by God after he lost everything, God doubled his trouble. Gave him double for his trouble. He got more than what he lost. Suffering carries a message of mystery inside of it. For humans, there is a mystery as to why God created the earth. There is a mystery as to why he put people on this earth. But God has revealed answers through the Bible and through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, you will find all of the answers to your questions and the problems of life. Man rebelled against God. Man said, I don't need God. I can build my world without you. God said, if you take that position, I'm just paraphrasing, you will suffer and die. Man took that position and he began to suffer. And he has been dying ever since. Physical death is just the death of the body, but the spirit lives on. Your spirit is separated from God for eternity. It will be lost forever. Let me say this. We are just spirits that are dressed up in the flesh. You need to understand that. When this spirit that is inside of you leaves, this flesh is going somewhere. To live in that environment. Let me put it to you this way. When you see the astronauts travel into outer space, what do they put on? They put on a spacesuit. Why? Because they're in an environment that they need protection. Because being in the flesh would not allow them to stay in that atmosphere. They were only able to stay in this atmosphere because this is where we were designed to be in this flesh. Now, to take us someplace else, you're going to need something different, which is a space suit. So if we can create a space suit and use that as an example, how much more that we are in a fleshly suit, but on the inside of us there is a spirit that is going to live either with God or in hell. Just that simple. Many preachers don't want to preach about that. Why? Because that don't fill churches. Don't. When you preach about hell and disobedience and all of that, that don't fill churches. What fills churches? If I tell you, if you pay your tithes and you give me $50 this Sunday, I guarantee you there'll be another 50 coming your way. Or another 100 coming your way. Well, if they work, they ain't going to get another 50. Just saying. That don't excite me. I mean, come on now. Y'all need somebody that's going to teach you. You know, my grandmother used to say, you know, Ronnie, you can't be eating all these sweets and stuff. You need to eat some of these vegetables. Now I'm like, oh, no vegetables. She's like, you need to eat these greens that give you some vitamins and nutrients for your body. And I was like, where's the Flintstones tap? I take that. I mean, give me that. That'll give me my vitamins. But in the meantime, let me get this cake. I mean, come on. All that talking just really wasn't making me happy. I just didn't. I mean, the Flintstone vitamin. I took that this morning. How much vitamins do I need? But the thing about what we don't understand, we don't want vitamins. The natural good stuff. You see what I'm saying? We don't want those things. We don't want to eat the salads. We just don't. But that's good for you. It helps you to live. Cleans you out. Lowers your cholesterol. All that good stuff. We want to eat some of that stuff that is not good for you. You know what I'm saying? That pasta stuff. Yeah. Hey, man, that's something. Hold up. Let me tell you this. You can tell when you eat healthy. When you eat healthy, you don't go to sleep. Now you be like this. Yeah, wide awake, boy. You be like, but eat some of that stuff that ain't healthy. Boy, you be talking, and next thing you know, just saying, I'm talking about this like that. You gone. And you're like, well, I'm just talking to you. What you doing? And then next thing you know, you gone too. That's when you eat the stuff that's not healthy. Get sleepy. The Bible teaches that Satan is the author of sin. Sin is the reason that we have afflictions, including death. All of our problems and all of our suffering, including death itself, are a result of man's rebellion against God. If you act up in a house, I mean, come on now, that's going to cause your parents to start disciplining. That's just the way it happens. The problem you face will either defeat you or develop you, depending on how you respond to them. Unfortunately, most people fail to see how God wants to use us, use problems for the good in their lives. We don't see that. They act foolishly and resent their problems, and rather than pausing to consider what the benefit it might be, they just act foolishly. They start blaming everybody. God has a purpose, even in our problems. Even our problems are a part of God's plan and God's will to conform us to the image of Christ. Now, see, some of us have a problem with that because that's putting God on your level when you don't understand that what I just said. Because, see, when you put God on your level, then why are you, let me say this. You got folks walking around worshiping statues. I've said this before. If I ain't worshiping no statue, I ain't bowing down to that thing. That thing need me. I got to clean it off. I got to dust it. I got to keep it up. It's going to rust and corrode. I don't need that. I ain't bowing down to something that I'm cleaning up and taking care of. I ain't doing that. That's foolish. Doesn't make sense. That thing can't control the air, sea, and all that type of stuff. I don't do that. No. I'm a worship someone that can do beyond what I can do. The supernatural. That's what you need to worship. That's what you need to praise. I don't believe a lot of times that God directly sends things upon us. They are a part of his permissive will. Part of the fact that we have freedom of choice. We live in a fallen world. There are many reasons why problems come, but we do not need to focus so much on the why, but on the what. Focus on the what. Not why did this come, but what is God trying to teach me and what can God use this to accomplish in my life? There's something that I'm going through that God is trying to accomplish. What is that thing that God is trying? See, there's a teaching moment in the storm. There's an education in what we're going through. God is trying to grow you up. Simple as that. There's things that you need to go through. Joseph was in a bad situation. We all read the story about Joseph. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but Joseph had problems. His brothers thrown him into a pit to sell him to traitors. They took his coat of many colors that was made for him, and they put goat's blood on it and sent it back to his daddy with the message that some beast had eaten him and devoured him. Joseph started off with some problems. He was the youngest son of all of his brothers who hated him. His father, Jacob, sent him on a mission, and all of a sudden he's thrown into a pit, and his coat taken from him, and his family thinks he's now dead. That's bad when you have jealousy that's present. They begin to lie. Joseph was a man just like any of us, a person just like any of us. Later on, he was sold to the Ishmaelites as they came by. They sold their brother. All of a sudden, he ended up at Potiphar's house. Don't you think he had some problems? Had problems, big problems. One day he's at the home and the comfort of his dad, and next day he's sold into slavery. He was in trouble, but the Bible said this. This is what I like about the word of God, and that's what I like about God. Even though Joseph had all of his problems and Joseph had all this, the Bible says that God was with him. It don't matter what you go through this morning. You have to understand, if you're a child of God, God is with you. I mean, that's what got me when I was reading about Joseph. Through all of his problems, through all of the situation, I kept in the back of my mind as I was reading, God is right there. Mm. Later on, Potiphar took Joseph and made him the head of his house. He put him in charge of everything. Potiphar went on a journey, and Joseph was running his house. Okay? And Potiphar's wife began to lust after Joseph, and all of a sudden she wanted him. That's a problem. But Joseph did not take heed to that woman. He stood for God, and God was with him. And he told the woman this. He said, Potiphar has given me everything in this house except you. All right. And I'll touch you not. She began to beg and to cry, and he ran, and she ripped off his coat, garment. First, his brothers ripped it off. Now this woman rips it off. He was always running from trouble. He was trying to get just as close to God as he could. He knew the calling that was on his life. But when Potiphar came home, his wife, of course, she lied. See, jealousy lies. She told Potiphar, look, here's his coat. The servant you brought into our home, he tried to lie with me. Potiphar got angry, so he cast him into the prison. He was still having problems, but the Lord was with him. With him. Even through his problems, I'm trying to tell you this morning, if you're a child of God, the Lord is with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your problems. He knows who's talking to you the way they're talking to you. He knows what the plans that people are doing behind the scenes that you're not aware of. God is with you. He knows all of that. Yeah, you can tell God. God already knows about it. Tell him anyway. He already knows about it. God is already working on it if you stay with him. Even though Joseph had a lot of problems along the way, God was with him. Joseph ended up in the place of God. This is why I said that earlier, that God is just trying to get us to his place. Not our place, but to his place. So many times we look at problems as a bad thing when sometimes they are really a good thing. You get to going through things in your life and you begin to wonder, why is this happening to me? But I want you to know that if you're a child of God, he is with you. And God is bringing you and I to the place where God can use us the best. See, this is why the scripture says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It doesn't seem like a joy to go through things when we're going through them, does it? No. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us even until the end of time. God uses problems in our lives to direct us. All he's doing is directing you. Problem comes in your life, God is trying to direct you. I saw problems coming on my job. I'm sitting there trying to fight it. And I said, oh, God is trying to direct me. Let me see where he's taking me with this. This is serious. We always try to fight things and fight it and fight it. I said, no, let me say, Lord, what are you trying to do? Where are you taking me? What I need to learn out of this? What are you trying to prepare me for? There was a time where I didn't have a leadership experience, you know. So what God did was he had me involved in church, and he had me over certain auxiliaries in the church to understand management. As I was coming up as a junior deacon, had me learning these management skills. So God said, because you're a little rough, you're a little raw, I need to kind of calm you down a little bit. You see, some of us are waiting and ready for the blessing in our mind. But according to God, God said, no, you're not ready. That's like a 10-year-old saying, Daddy, can I drive the car? Daddy, can I drive the truck? In their mind, they're ready. Because they seen you do it. But in reality, you better not let that 10-year-old get behind that wheel. They will tear up that vehicle. It ain't like playing video games. Joseph got to where he was because God was directing him. The Bible says in Psalms 25, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Our ways are not God's ways. What you try to do something or how you try to do it, God said, that ain't nowhere near what I'm trying to do. Abraham said that, well, God is trying to bless me with a child. So his wife said, well, why don't you go in with the handmaid? And Abraham said, oh, there ain't no problem with that. He went on in there, and that wasn't what God was trying to do. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That wasn't God. We need to let God do what God say he's going to do. God said, this time next year, I'm going to bless you. Believe what God said. He's not short of his word. If he said he's going to do it, trust me, his word will go out. It will accomplish what it said that it was going to accomplish. And then guess what? His word comes back to him because it has done the works that he said it would do. So if God's, if there is a prophetic word that is over your life, let me tell you something. I spoke of this before. It's hovering. Why? Because you need to get to the place. As soon as you get to the place, then your blessing will come down on you. I tell people all the time, you don't have to chase money. If you're chasing money, I'm going to tell you something right now. You are not in God's will because God does not tell us to chase money. Let me tell you something. You in God's will when the money starts chasing you, hitting your wallet, hitting your bank account. Yeah, that's when you in God's will. When the money is coming after you, it's finding you, seeking you out. Blessings coming your way. Not that you're looking for it, but it's coming. Why? Because you're in the will of God. Sometimes, see, this is the part that people don't want to hear. See, sometimes God's got a lot of fire underneath some people to get them moving. See, God can say something to me and I'm doing it because I know the consequences of not doing it. Right. It's like that child that has an older brother or older sister or whatever. They already seen what happened to the oldest one. So the youngest one are kind of like, hey, whoa, that ain't going to happen to me. So I know better. See what I'm saying? So as a child of God, I know what God is trying to do. So God doesn't have to tell me twice. So therefore, what am I saying? Sometimes God's got to put a fire underneath somebody to get them going to where he needs them to go. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. The Bible said Jonah ran from the Lord and went in the opposite direction. It's like God saying to Jonah, go to New York. Jonah went to California. That's how far he went from what God was telling him to go. But notice that everything you read about Jonah, who was going in the opposite direction of God and said to him, notice the word down. The Bible said he went down to Joppa. He went down into to the ship. And then it says that he also went down into the depths of the sea. Notice the key word down. Everything in your life will start to go down when you get out of the will of God. The only time Jonah came up is when he prayed to God and asked God to have mercy on him and forgive him. And then all of a sudden, Jonah start coming up. That's what happens. Read Jonah. Notice the word down. It emphasizes on that several times. Down, 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 down. But when he prayed, he came up. God prepared a fish for him. When they threw Jonah overboard, the fish got hold of him and took him to the depths of the sea. And Jonah prayed a second time. Lord, see, you don't have to have a long prayer. I keep trying to tell y'all that. Some of y'all long praying people, y'all better cut that out. When you're in trouble, you need help. It don't make no sense to be up here for 45 minutes. You still praying. I'm going to come and I'm going to say, hey, no, no, you ain't preaching today. That's a sermon. Come on, let's be real now. It don't take that long. I guarantee you, if you need some help, this used to be the swimming pool. I guarantee if they need some help, they ain't start a long prayer. When they got up and got some air, they said, help. And if they went down, that's all, I'm telling you, all you need. Peter said, Lord, save me. Jonah grabbed him. You see what I'm saying? Short prayer. Why? Because you need help. Now somebody go to say, okay, we're going to touch and agree. Let's bow here. You in trouble. You had somebody want to touch and agree? You want to close your eyes? I'm sorry. You can't pray for me. Let me go find somebody else that can get in the hurry and pray. It makes us laugh, but this is reality. Yeah, some folks that just go down there. You be like, dog, they still praying? Thought they was done. But see, when Jonah got where he was supposed to be and started doing what God told him to do, all of a sudden, when he got to the place, Jonah went to preach to the city of Nineveh, and the whole city got saved. I mean, every soul that was there got saved. Maybe God is trying to use a problem in my life to get us to where we need to be in the place that he wants us to be. I'll say this, God is going to get you where you want to be, where you need to be. He's going to do that. I'm going to tell you, it may take some time, but you're going to get there. But I'm going to tell you this, it ain't going to be because of God. It's going to be because of you. God wants you to, God is trying to develop character. He's trying to build you up. God wants us to know how strong you are. Anybody can come in here and say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, and start clapping and shouting and all that type of stuff, running around the church. And we can say, some people say, well, that person's really on fire for God. Mm-hmm. Watch him on Monday. Right. Or watch him after service. Right. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all, and they run around the church, and you're like, oh, they say they really let the Lord use them this morning. I was glad to see that, going through some stuff. And then watch them on Monday, and you wouldn't even think that what that running around was doing and all that clapping and singing is gone. See, some people, let me say this, some people, their praise and worship stops when the music stops. And see, the music sounds good. So that's what got them up. But see, and when the music stops, then they stop. They like, well, they sit down and they done. But wait to somebody that really praise God. Man, we can do a cappella in this church. No instruments, no nothing. Just come in. They already, all they got to do is just think. All the praise I got to do is just take a moment and in a conversation with you. All they got to do is just think about the goodness of Jesus. Man, you will get something started. They was like, well, how much time do you have? Because I can tell you some stuff. That's all it takes for them. Somebody who loves to worship. Worship God. See, we need to learn to trust God in all times, no matter what we face. God is going to defend us if we trust him. The psalmist was going through some trials as well. He had some problems in his life, and he said, Lord, even when my enemies came upon me, they stumbled and fail. In another place he said, I will not fear what man can do unto me, for the Lord is on my side. God is going to use the problem in your life to defend you. See, and I'm going to say this as I close. I feel closer to God right now as I ever did in my life coming up. I feel like I did when I got saved. Y'all, you know when you have that first moment? That first moment of deliverance, that first time, I often tell my wife, I said, I know the first time that you and I went out or where we went to. I told her, I remind her of those firsts. Sometimes we have to tell the Lord to take us back to when we first believe. See, sometimes you just got to go down memory lane. Sometimes you got to have, I tell people that you got to have a memorial, someplace where you gave your life to Christ. And when you go to the spot, praise God in the spot. Thank God for the things that he's done and what he is doing for you in your life. Sometimes we got to understand that if we're not doing what the Lord say do, God is going to get us there. It's just going to take a minute to get us there. Why? Because we're hard-headed. Let me say this as I close. Jonah, let me get back to Jonah. Jonah, he was on a ship with those guys, and the waves began to roar, and the boat began to bounce around. The people began to throw stuff all off the ship and everything. And he said, Lord, what have we done? They said, we have to pray and see what the cause of this is. They prayed and brought Jonah up, and Jonah said, it is my fault. I'm running from the Almighty God. Listen, let me tell you something. Sometimes the reason why you're having problems in your life is because you have invited somebody on your ship. You have somebody that is on the ship that needs to get off the ship, and you need to throw them overboard. I mean, you need to get rid of them real quick, because the longer you keep them on the ship, the longer the storm is going to be hovering over your life, the longer you're going to continue to go through what you're going through. You got to get folks off the ship that is on the ship with you in order for God to get you to the place you need to be. They said, God, we got to get him off this ship. But. Before we get him off the ship, we need to make sure. Because the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. In other words, when you get ready to touch a child of God, you better make sure you got permission. I'm going to tell you that right now. Let me break it down to you. If anybody touch your child, you know you will go up to that school and cut her up. You know you will go up there clowning, and the pastor will be looking at you on the news like, ain't that sister so-and-so? Oh, my God, look at her. Yes, Lord, that is her. Am I right about it? I know I'm right about it. I was like, I thought she was delivered, but look at her cut up. I'm going to have to go down there to that school and get her because she's still on the news. Oh, brother so-and-so, it don't matter. What I'm saying is y'all have to understand that before you touch a child of God, there is a permission slip. Y'all remember that? When you was in school, there was a permission slip that you had to get signed in order for you to participate in any activities or for anything to happen. So what I'm saying is Satan had to take the permission slip. Lord, I see that if you remove this hedge, I know that I can get them to curse you. They still got some curse words in them. I know I can get them to curse you. I know I can get them to curse you. I know. Lord, can you sign this permission slip? Grant me permission to go over there and do some work. God says, oh, you talking about brother so-and-so, sister? Oh, yeah, I'm going to sign right off on that because I know what's inside of them. I know that they're not worshiping me just for materialistic things. I know that they're worshiping me in real truth. They're worshiping me in spirit and in truth, not in an image. They're saying, God is saying that I'm giving you permission because I know that regardless what you do to them, they still gonna come out praising me. They still got a shout in them for me. So, but I'm gonna tell you, you can do what you wanna do, but you cannot touch their life. I'm not gonna grant you that permission. Don't touch their life, but do what you wanna do. Because I know that when you get done, they still gonna be praising me. So if you wonder why you're being picked on, if you wonder why you're under attack, it's because the Lord knows what's inside of you, and all he's trying to do is get it to come up out of you. It ain't no different than when an instructor give you a test. They know what they taught throughout the year. They know what you've been through. So at the end of the course, all they want to do is just give you an exam and just tell what you got inside of you. All they want you to do is just bring it out. Now let me see you work. All Job did was just praise God even more. And God blessed him more than what he already had. He came out. All right. Boy, I'm telling you. Y'all read the story? Y'all know what happened? Same thing happened to you. Aren't you still praising God? Isn't he still worthy? Woo. All God is doing is trying to get you to his place. What you got to look at, I'm trying to quit. Y'all play too much. I'm trying to get you to understand something here. God is trying to get you to a place. So when somebody is attacking you, that is a person that is being used by God to get you to the place. Because you're taking your time, God is saying, I need you. God can use anything. I need you to get this person to the place. God uses people, good or bad, to move us into a place of his, not ours, of his. He uses Joseph's brothers to get his servant into a place to save his people. Sometimes we don't see it, but we can sure enough feel it. God is just trying to get you to a place. We're going to have problems. Nobody's exempt from problems. We're going to have problems, but God is just trying to get you to a place. Joseph said, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. You know, I had this vision one time that I didn't know what it meant when I dreamed it, but you know what? When I got to the place, it all came to me. I said, I'm in the place of God. God showed me the dream years before I got the job, and when I got the job, I said, I'm in the place of God, which is why nothing could touch me on the job. Because I'm in the place of God. If God gave it to you, can't nobody come and take that from you. Problems gonna come. We're gonna have problems. But try to understand what is in the problem. What is it that God is trying to teach me? God is a teacher. Holy Spirit is a teacher. tries to teach us life. Amen. Amen. Officers, deacon. Doors of the church is now open. Doors of the church is now open. This is the time we set aside in the service for those who may not have a church home. So we set this time aside for people to make a commitment. Most people, I can tell you, they join in various ways. Whether it be coming up now or later. But the one thing that I like is that they came. Everybody do it different. But the one thing that they have that is common, they did it. Is there one? Amen. Amen. Thank God for you all today. May God bless you all. May God bless you.